The bell calls out the funeral mass for a Franciscan friar, Brother Paul, who stood beneath atomic blasts, transfixed, transfigured, and appalled by violence to a gentle nature, and found solace in the brotherhood of Saint Francis, who saw in God's creatures gentle nature's common good.
On the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side.
My name's Shelley Gregg. My father was Corporal Roy Gregg, who was based in Christmas Island, Port London, and witnessed 5 bombs.
Paul was one of the community's characters, and many are going to miss him. For in our Franciscan family, he leaves a genuine gap.
He decided, and it was in 1987, he decided to join the friary. He said he got the calling, whatever that may mean. He loved the countryside, loved the fact of, you know, where it was and where he was in the countryside. You know, he just loved all of it. And he knew that he was going to end up in that graveyard. That was where he was going to be. The view that you get from the graveyard is amazing. You can literally see for miles. And Dad loved that.
The meaning of a tolling bell depends on what it signifies. They threaten and they warn, as well as celebrate and pacify. The bell that sounded the all clear as Corporal Grigg felt black rain falling and the mushroom rose and disappeared contained a requiem and calling. A calling to a different life of contemplation and devotion, and a requiem for a life to come beneath the cloud of that explosion.
But, like St. Francis, Paul's Christian witness was more profound than simply preaching to the birds. His gift of understanding of other people's failures brought fruits 100-fold from those whose lives were blighted by the big issues of destitution, experienced by the wayfarer.
Outside the chapel, Brother Hugh, Paul's friend for nearly 30 years, explains how Francis helped the poor and how that duty still transfers from one generation to the other. The daughter shares her dad's compassion and, like Francis and her father, brother, is caring in a different fashion.
Francis, for some reason, has become particularly attached to animals. I think the other big thing, though, the big story, is Francis and the poor. Finding meaning, finding fellowship. That's a very rather religious word. Finding friendship. Camaraderie with poorer people.
Shelley's Facebook fallout page calls out to the dispossessed, the children of the nuclear age whose fathers witnessed those bomb blasts.
Fallout started in 2011, mainly because I was starting to speak to quite a lot of different descendants just on Facebook. People were suffering just like I was with various different conditions. I felt these people deserve to be talked to and listened to because there's nobody else that's going to do it. But now they've started to talk to each other and they've made friends with each other on the group. I was really quite surprised at quite how compassionate my dad was. And you realise it's in your genes. And people have said to me since, especially with the group, why do you take this on? Why do you do it? And it's because I feel that people need to have somebody to talk to. Because if you don't have somebody to talk to, it all boils up inside.
Those that come to Shelley's page feel smoke cloud transfiguration feed their fiery fallout rage and look to her for consolation.
I felt very alone after my father had passed away and wanted to meet other people. And obviously the more I spoke to people, the more I realised that there was something going on. You know, he would say that he felt that the cancer was as a result of being out in Christmas Island with a test.
But from the very moment he knew he had cancer, which may be traced back to those wretched nuclear tests on Christmas Island, he has spoken boldly and humbly about his readiness to meet his maker face to face, because he had, without compromise, dedicated his life fully, or as he would have said, I've done my best.
The bomb blast fallout rain that drenched the men who saw the light cloud burst soaks and cools but never quenched Corporal Griggs' dry desert thirst.
Do you think there's a possibility that that's where Dad's drink habit started in Christmas Island? Because there's obviously a high possibility that it could have done. Speaking to a lot of the veterans, it seems that a lot of them said that they'd had, you know, a drink problem when they came back, and it was because of this fear of what they were experiencing and what they were about to experience with the explosions.
Two things were born in Shelley's dad in that exploding light cloudburst, or two things left from what he had. The one compassion, the other thirst.
Later on in life, he'd stopped drinking when he was in the friary. It was almost like he didn't need it anymore. You know, he was at peace with himself. He'd, you know, I was back in his life. He was happy, you know, and he no longer needed the drink to shut out whatever the issues were.
It's something to do with people, at the very least, community building is going on by breaking bread with other people. You're growing together in a purposeful community.
He was quite good, I seem to remember, with the homeless men working alongside the garden.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him.
Tell me the traditional church date for celebrating the Transfiguration.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me the date of Hiroshima. You only need to remember one day.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud.
Where is God with the atom bomb? They happened to drop the atom bomb on the day of the Transfiguration.
Oh, yes.
Brother Hugh speculates on the Feast of the Transfiguration, the Western Church's chosen date to mark the feast and celebration is August the 6th, Hiroshima Day. Calendar days that coincide to commemorate through holiday thick white cloud and blinding light. Transfiguration, rearrange, metamorphosis, mutation, real or metaphorical change. Christ's supposed transformation can shine a light on Shelley's father, Corporal Roy Grigg, then Brother Paul, first soldier, then Franciscan friar, who saw the light, then heard the call.
If he'd never been there, he'd still be here. You know, the chances are he wouldn't have got that cancer. Because I noticed that when some of the veterans pass away, it brings back emotions. They deal with their health conditions better than they do with losing their father. Because everybody I was talking to had spinal problems. We all had disc problems. We all had something that was wrong with our joints. My fusion's L5S1, which is the lower part of the spine. I've got a disc further up at L3 that's gone, but they won't do anything with that because it's so far up, they can't fuse that amount of spine. But I've had a double disc replacement done on my neck. The very first consultant I saw, he said to me I had the bones of an 80-year-old.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Francis Durkham, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to share my findings with you today.
I struggle every single day. I'm in pain 24/7.
To begin, the enlarged tissue makes its appearance in a very irregular way. Nodules of soft tissue are at first deposited in some one situation.
Durkheim's disease is a very rare genetic condition. So, you know, if a doctor's never heard of Durkheim's disease, he's not got a clue.
For a time, the deposit is limited to these original areas, but subsequently it makes its appearance elsewhere and may become very extensive.
It is genetic. It's not something you can just pick up. So it has to be passed down from somebody that carries the gene. And there's nobody in our family that has Durkheim's disease. I've gone back through the family tree and there doesn't seem to be anything anywhere.
Not only is the development of the enlargement irregular and even capricious, but there is, in addition, another important fact to be remembered, and that is, at some time or the other, the enlargement is accompanied by pain or other nervous symptom.
It causes painful lipomas. They have their own nerve supply. Very, very painful. There's no cure for it. Everything hurts. You just feel like your whole body's in pain.
Inasmuch as fatty swelling and pain are the most prominent features of the disease, I propose for it the name Adiposis dolorosa.
Even a doctor inclined to care may not be quick to diagnose a condition of which they are unaware, like adiposis dolorosa. When Francis Durkheim named the condition the hidden pain with no relief, he marked it with the recognition of a body's pain infused with grief. Dolorosa, infused with grieving. Adiposis, beneath the skin. Inside sorrow, weeping, cleaving. Durkheim's disease, pain within.
There's 5-6 of us in 300 that have got Durkheim's disease. How on earth, if it's so rare, how can we all have it?
By the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Traditionally, transubstantiation is when the substance actually ceases to be bread and becomes somehow Jesus.
Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
It's existential, not physical. Whereas, on the other hand, in the genes of people subjected to nuclear radiation, if you had the right form of electron microscope, you could eventually find something. You could find a twisted DNA or something like that.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
God is in the whole process somehow. Some change happens to the people who themselves break bread together.
Bells are rung to mark a change, to punctuate a shift in time. When no outward sense of rearrangement exists, we need the bells to chime to remind us that change can occur beyond what the mind and body sense, and the imperceptible transfer from the past into the future tense lives somewhere between the physical, the change that's seen through microscope, and change that's born of ritual, catalyzed through faith and hope.
I think we're all religious in our own little way. I think religion's quite a personal thing to people.
refinery, a little garden, which you call the Canticle Garden, after the canticle of the creatures. We walk around and we come to a beautifully carved stone of the sun, and there are the flowers which come out like the sun.
A canticle's a song in prayer. The praying's lifted by the song. This one praises earth and air, and sister moon and brother sun.
And then you move on, and then we have sister moon, and then sister water, and we have a fountain with water plants. And then we come on to sister death.
St. Francis's Canticle of the Creatures is a list of things to praise God through. Water, stars and wind all feature. Fire and death are praised there too. It's hard to think of praising fire when fire inside atomic blast makes water, earth and air conspire to curse us and the legacy we pass from one generation to the other. The father's curse becomes the daughter's. St. Francis's creatures, sisters, brothers baptized in those unholy waters. Fallout rain and fallout dust, fallout sand and fallout breath. The fallout mouth that dries and crusts and gives the taste of sister death.
I feel regret that I haven't had children to be able to pass on all sorts to my children. It would have been fantastic. But I would have been passing on a poison of sorts as well. Something that they would have been passing on to their children and their children. Everything stops with me. It's like a full stop. That's it. The story's come down so far. Full stop. End of the story now.
The golden evening brightened in the west. Soon, soon, to faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed.
The doctors have told me that my condition is progressive, and they said, eventually, you know, you will be in a wheelchair and your pain will be excessive, chronic.
And Paul was again able to hear the familiar voice at the end. When the even was come, and Jesus saith, let us pass over unto the other side.
St. Francis took himself off and basically looked after animals.
Paul, as you travel again with him into the seas of eternity, may you indeed find your contentment, your happiness, and your fulfillment in the Lord, whom you have faithfully served. May you rest in peace and rise in glory.
Yeah, he lived on basically next to nothing and looked after the animals. All the animals just came to him. So I see me as a little old lady in a wheelchair, surrounded by cats and dogs.